Good afternoon. How are we doing? Good, good to see you this afternoon. Welcome to Christmas here at New Creation Fellowship. We are glad that you are here with us today. As we conclude our series on the songs of Christmas, we're going to hear the story of Henry Longfellow. And though Longfellow experienced great success as a songwriter and a poet, he also knew something about sorrow as well. See, his first wife died when they were young after only a few years of marriage. And after some time had passed, he married a woman named Frances. And together they began a family. But one evening, Frances was trimming the hair of their daughter, and she decides to put the clippings of her daughter's hair in an envelope so she could keep it. So this is how you have to do it back in 63, I think it was. She melted some wax to seal the envelope. And then one thing leads to another. She gets up and she bumps the candle. The dress is now in flames. And by the time Henry figures out what's going on, he tries to put it out. That doesn't work. He's not able to save his wife. And the next morning, she dies at the age of 44. If that's not enough, then his oldest son, Charles, a little bit later, decides to join the army without his dad's blessing. And so during the battle at New Hope Church in Virginia, Charles is wounded. So he's shot in the left shoulder, and the bullet goes through his body, and it comes out the right side. The fact that our nation was at war with itself was a huge burden to Henry's heart. He just wanted our nation to be at peace. And with all that going on in Henry's life, he becomes deeply depressed. He could feel it. His kids could feel it. And as Christmas in 1863 arrived, Henry Longfellow found himself overcome with despair. He hadn't written in a long time, so he sits down at his desk that morning to write. And at that moment, the bells at the church nearby began to ring. It was Christmas Day. He began to think about what the bells meant. Hearing them chime actually began a process of healing for Henry. And as he listened to those bells, he thought about the message of Christmas. And the first verse of the hymn that he wrote, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day," begins just that way. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. And wild and sweet words repeat of peace on earth and goodwill to men." Now, we all most likely know that last line, right? It comes from the message that the angels proclaimed to the shepherds as they watched their flocks on Christmas night in Luke 2:14. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So what I'd like to do this afternoon is for us just to take a moment on this Christmas Eve 2023 and think about, like Longfellow did so many years ago, what is the message of Christmas? Well, the first message of Christmas is that Christmas is about hope. And I think a lot of people have a sense of hopelessness, right? They just feel like despite their best efforts, things are falling apart all around them. And what I want to communicate to you today is that there is hope. But at the same time, know that our hope is not in scientific discoveries. Our hope is not in a political party. It's not in technological advances. Our hope is found in God and in His promises. There are a couple of definitions of hope that I think we need to understand today. There's a common definition or an understanding, and then there's a spiritual definition. Webster's dictionary defines hope as a feeling that what is wanted will happen, or as a desire accompanied by expectation. It would be like this. It would be like if one of your kids wanted a video game or a certain toy or whatever for Christmas this year. Now, just because he or she hoped they were going to get that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen, right? We know that as parents. In other words, there's no guarantee they'll get what they want no matter how much they hope for it. That's the common understanding or definition. Now, a biblical understanding of hope or a spiritual understanding of hope is that hope is an expectation based on the promises of God. There's this huge connection between hope and faith. The difference between biblical hope and regular hope is that God's hope's not based on feelings or desires. It's based on the person of Jesus Christ who came to fulfill God's promises. Last week, we looked at a song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, where it states Jesus' purpose of coming to the earth so well. In the first part of the first verse, it says, "Yet in thy dark street shiners everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." See, we have a hope that God loves us and that he won't forsake us. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Philippians 4:19 that God will provide all of our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So no matter how bad life gets on this earth, we have hope. There's something better for us on the other side. Jesus also says he will prepare a place for us and return for us so that we can spend eternity with him. That these are promises that we can count on. That those are the things that give us hope this Christmas. The first message of Christmas is that of hope. And then secondly, this afternoon, Christmas is about love. Now, I hope at Christmas time you're not like Shaquille O'Neal, who calls himself Shaka Claus and gives his kids everythingthewant.com. Right? Not advocating that this evening at all. But most of us enjoy giving gifts to those that we love, right? And especially at Christmas time. Now, I get it. You may not like to shop for those gifts, but you probably do like to watch your kids or grandkids, if you have them, open up their gifts that you have given them, right? It's just enjoyable, isn't it? Here's the thing. It's hard for people, even those who have been Christians for a lot of years, to really comprehend just how much God loves us. It is his love that motivated him to send his only begotten son into the world in the first place. Paul reminds us in Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we're still sinners. And then over in 1 John 3:16, it says, this is how we know what love is. That Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. So Christmas should definitely remind us of God's love in the sending of his son into the world. It should remind us of God's love for us, that he was willing to lay down his life for us. The next message of Christmas is that Christmas is about joy. You know, when the angel appeared to the shepherds in the field outside of Bethlehem, the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that there will be for all the people." I think a lot of times people are mistaken when they believe that happiness and joy are the same thing, because they're not. Right? Happiness comes from the world around us. Joy, on the other hand, comes directly from the Holy Spirit. Our happiness, for the most part, is determined by the things that are going on in our lives. Like if we don't have any major problems, we tend to be happy. Right? Like for me, Seahawks win, I'm happy. It's a good day today. Seahawks lose, not so much, right? But if those circumstances change, if problems develop at work or at home, we tend not to be happy anymore. In other words, our happiness is directly related to our circumstances. Joy, on the other hand, is given to us by God. It doesn't change regardless of our circumstances. And a lot of times in the winter, people are a little more irritated. I don't know about you, but I'm really torn at Christmas time between going out shopping for Christmas presents or buying them online, right? Like, I like the idea of going shopping, don't like the crowd so much, but anymore everybody shops online, so the crowds aren't really that bad. And the fact when you actually go out and shop, it's hard to find what you're looking for these days. Online's definitely easier, but for me, not as enjoyable. While sometimes I might allow those things to steal my happiness, it cannot take my joy away. Because my joy is in the Lord, right? And that cannot be taken away. When you give your heart and life to Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you experience joy in the fullest sense. Most of you that are here today, you know what I'm talking about. If you're here and you're a Christ follower, you know what the joy of the Lord is all about. It's like the Philippian jailer of Acts 16, verse 34. He knew what the joy of the Lord was all about. This guy was a jailer. He was about to commit suicide because back in those days, when the prisoners, if they escaped, then they would put the jailer to death. And he thought all the prisoners that he was guarding, including Paul and Silas, had escaped. But after discovering that they were still there, he fell at Paul's feet and he pleaded with him to tell him how to be saved. And Paul tells him and he gives his life to Christ. And in Acts 16, verse 34, it describes what happens next. It says, he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. He was filled with joy because he had believed in God. In other words, he was filled with joy because of this relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you tonight, if you don't have that same kind of relationship with Jesus, it won't matter what you do or what you achieve in life, you'll never have real joy. All right, the next message of Christmas is about peace. Some of you might remember back in 2007, President Bush hosted a peace conference in Annapolis, Maryland, in which he intended to gather the Palestinians and the Israelites along with some other people in the Middle East to the negotiating table. And back then, a lot of people believed that the president wanted to see a deal worked out between Israel and Palestine to establish two states in Palestine. But unfortunately, the chance for peace in the Middle East wasn't very good. And in 2007, Israel had to defend itself against the terrorist attacks, and they launched attacks against Hamas in the Gaza Strip. And back then, Iran was in the mix, threatening to develop nuclear weapons. Sound familiar? In 2023, Israel is defending itself against the attacks of Hamas in the Gaza Strip. In 2023, we have Russia in a war with Ukraine as well. And I don't know too many people who like war. I think we all would be much happier if the war in the Gaza Strip and Ukraine would come to an end. That's probably not going to happen for a while. But when we think of peace on earth and goodwill toward men, We generally think of the absence of war and conflict. When the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased," in Luke 2:14, they weren't talking about the absence of war. They were talking about peace with God. And the only ones who can be at peace with God and experience the peace of God are those that follow Jesus. Did you catch the last part of verse 14 where it said, "Peace on earth among those whom he is pleased"? The Bible tells us it is impossible to please God without faith. So unbelievers cannot possibly have the favor of God or the peace of God in their lives. Only believers can experience both of those things. So we are at peace with God by submitting to the lordship of Jesus. And then we experience what the Apostle Paul describes as the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. And maybe you're here on this Christmas Eve, 2023. And maybe you find yourself in conflict with God. Maybe the Holy Spirit's been convicting you of your sin. And maybe he's drawing you to himself. If that's the case today, I want to encourage you to stop resisting and confess your sins to him. Allow him to cleanse you from all of your unrighteousness. Ask Jesus into your life. Then and only then will you be able to be at peace with God and be able to experience the peace of God. So Christmas is about hope, it's about love, it's about joy, it's about peace. And then fifthly this evening, but most importantly, Christmas is about Jesus. Years ago, I read a story of a family who had a tradition at Christmas where mom and the kids would go to Christmas Eve service and dad would stay home and read the paper. And when they got back from church, they would open up their gifts. That's what they did. That's what tradition was. Now, dad wasn't a bad guy. He just had trouble believing that the Son of God was born to a virgin, and that they wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, like it says in Luke 2:5-7. And so his wife and kids go off to church, and this guy would sit down in his favorite chair and open up the evening paper, and he'd begin to read. About that time, he heard a tapping on the window, and he went to investigate, and it was a bird flying and hitting into the window. And so he thought the bird must be cold, and so he was attempting to get into the house to get warm, and so he feels sorry for the bird, and so he goes outside and to see if he could catch the bird and bring it inside and attempt to save it from dying. So as he walks towards the bird begins to frantically fly into the window even harder, and the next thing he knew, the bird flew in some bushes below the window. The bird's half frozen and exhausted, but still afraid of the man. And the more he tried to help the bird, the more the bird what? Tried to get away. So after a while, being outside in the freezing cold without any luck catching the bird, the man yells in frustration, "Stupid bird, don't you understand? All I'm trying to do is help you." And then he had this thought. If only the bird understand that he was trying to help him, he wouldn't fly away. It was at that moment that the church bells rang, as they always did, beginning of Christmas Eve service. And when the man heard the bells this time, he falls to his knees and he says, "God, I didn't understand. I didn't understand." It was at that point that he understood why the Son of God came in the form of a baby. He came to help us and to tell us how our relationship with God can be restored. It's exactly what the Apostle John meant when he said, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And even though the light was shining in the darkness back then, most people were like this man, and they didn't understand or they didn't comprehend what was happening. And I think, unfortunately, the majority of the people in the world today still don't understand. Most people in America will celebrate Christmas without worshiping Jesus or even acknowledging that it's his birthday. In fact, there are some people who would like to take Jesus out of Christmas completely. I'm not a big cartoon strip guy, but I ran across this one in the family circus where young Billy sees many of the signs that are common around the Christmas season. One says, don't forget Christmas candy, and don't forget the wrapping paper, and don't forget, you know, the Christmas lights, and don't forget the batteries, right? All the things. And then the final frame of the comic, it shows Billy drawing a picture. And the scene is the stable with Mary and Joseph standing by the manger where the baby Jesus is lying. And above the scene, Billy wrote two simple words. Don't forget. See, we must be careful not to get caught up in the excitement of all the Christmas activities and forget what we're celebrating. Some people get so involved in the holiday details and the traditions and the festivities that they neglect to worship Jesus. So I want to encourage you on this Christmas Eve that tomorrow in all of the activity, of all the things that you do, not to forget to worship Jesus. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Would you pray with me this evening? Father, thank you for your word today. God, thank you for the virgin birth of Jesus. And we thank you that because of Jesus' birth, we have access to a personal relationship with you and a true and assured hope. Jesus' birth changed everything for us. And so, God, we acknowledge on this Christmas Eve that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.